Hi, this is Doug Deacon. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, don't just watch the draft. Play the draft with the Cleveland Browns for your chance to win incredible prizes. Play the Draft is a new, free, fantasy NFL draft game. The first contest is live now. Sign up at ClevelandBrowns.com today. And I'll tell you what, I endorse this wholeheartedly. It is a fun way to kind of monitor the players. Jim, you go in there and you set your board, just like you would normally do your mock.
Yeah.
But in this case, it sort of becomes like a CNBC stock experience.
Oh,
each player
like
has
Kramer?
A rising. You become
Jim Cramer.
So you go from Jim Donovan to Jim Cramer, and you can monitor your stock of your players as they move up and down each week. The green going up or the red going down. And
incidentally, that's not a long walk.
No, it isn't really.
Are you done? I want to make an announcement.
Yes, please.
My announcement is, you just heard Doug Deacon say, you're listening to the Doug Deacon will
That's
be appearing Deacon. In China.
Will he?
In May, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, he's going to China.
To do what?
Well, I mean, I understand the Browns games on the internet are just off the charts in China, and they want to know who is this guy, and they're bringing him over there.
So he's
he'll be in China.
I'm excited for Doug for that. We'll have to talk. We'll have to have him on CBD just to talk about that. All right, on with us right now is Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com, the plane dealer. She is in Orlando, Florida, at the NFL owners meetings. And Mary Kay, first of all, welcome. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
All right. Well, give us a little rundown today. You had a chance to visit with Ray Farmer, the Browns general manager. Said some interesting things.
He did. You know what? Ray's always great when we get a chance to talk to Ray. Hopefully, we will have many opportunities to talk to him because, he's got a great presence and he gives you some information and things like that. So some of the things he talked about today, there was this little cryptic tweet that Joe Hayden had last night where he must have seen a fake account that mentioned something about him possibly being traded. He put it out. It's a crazy business. And so Ray put it out there today. You know, we are absolutely not getting rid of Joe Hayden. In fact, they still are, talking extension, and the focus is to get him wrapped up. So that was one of the things there. And then, we talked to him, of course, about the whole quarterback situation. And I would say, surprisingly, he's not going to the Johnny Manziel workout. I really thought that he would do that.
Okay, so you thought he would. I mean, and just given that this team has not been present at when I say this team, I think Ray with just the Bortles workout so far, why were you surprised, though, that he wouldn't be there?
You know what? Well, it's my understanding that he was at Teddy Bridgewater, too, unless people got that completely wrong.
But he wasn't he, Mary Kay, just talking to a linebacker there more? Didn't he almost show more interest to a linebacker at the Louisville one?
You know what? I really don't know exactly, where his focus or his attention was. Maybe he didn't actually, stand there and watch the entire workout. I'm not so sure about that, and he wouldn't give us details on that. But I still think, regardless of whether or not he did, I think that you need to. So I do find it a little bit interesting that they are not sending, contingents to really go and watch these guys at their pro days and, talk to them at the combine and those kind of things. Because if you really are thinking about it, or you want people to think that you're thinking about it, I think you just have to show that kind of interest. And you also would want to see a guy in many different kinds of settings, even if you think they're scripted.
All right, so he's not going to the workouts. And what do you think what is he going to do then? He's waiting for one-on-one. Did he mention that? What will he do at that some point? I mean, he'll sit down face-to-face, right? And they'll have a workout?
Yes. They will go and do private workouts with these guys, which I know you get a lot more out of that. And he also mentioned that he's been seeing these guys throughout the fall. He's been to practices. He's been to games. And he thinks that the club will get so much more out of their own sessions with the quarterbacks than they would standing around at the pro day. He does not feel like that's necessarily a wise use of their time.
Mary Kay, what about, Vic mentioned and read some comments from Ray about the Matt Schaub situation. So what did you take from that, that they were interested in him but didn't get the deal done? The Raiders did. And as Vic alluded to, the Raiders gave up like a six-round draft choice to get him. And if you're Brian Hoyer sitting back here, how do you take Ray's comment that they're comfortable with Brian? Not, you know, they're comfortable with him.
Well, I think the question was asked, are you comfortable with him? And mm-hmm. so it was the way that the question was posed that elicited that kind of an answer. However, I think it is significant that they were interested in Matt Schaub. And, you know, we knew that they were, but to hear the actual general manager, you know, acknowledge that they were, I think that's significant, because if he had come in here, you really would have to think that he would have given Brian Hoyer some really good competition for that starting job. He knows Kyle Shanahan's system inside and out. Kyle Shanahan really likes Matt Schaub. And, you know, I think that would have set up a very, very interesting scenario between Hoyer and Schaub to see how that would have panned out.
Mm-hmm. Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer joining us on the line from Orlando, Florida, the NFL owners' meetings there. And Mary Kay, I guess just prior to you had this conversation, you and other media members who cover the Browns had this conversation with Ray Farmer, I believe, just prior to the official announcement that Paul McQuiston was signed as a free agent offensive guard. So want to get your take on that and how you see the fit here. I mean, all signs would point to him stepping into that right guard role that Sean Laval had filled.
Yeah, I think so. I think he can do that. He started 40 games over the last 3 years for Seattle. He's still only 30 years old. And one thing that I do find interesting is that this is a regime that is willing to add a 30-year-old to the roster. You know, they've added Dansby. Now they've added McQuiston. Now, we've had previous regimes that stayed away from anybody that was 30 or over and really got rid of all those guys. So these guys are willing to fill some holes with an older guy. But I think this one is definitely one that can really help them right away, start games for them, solidify that side of the line, and then he can also fill in anywhere that you need him in the event of injury.
Mary Kay, when do you think that they will try and do something at cornerback, not quarterback, cornerback, in the sense that is there anything left in free agency that they can go out and try and get, or are we going to get young corners, at least one, if not a couple, in the draft?
You know what? I think that they would have made a pitch for Sam Shields, the Green Bay cornerback, if mm-hmm. he had not re-signed so quickly with the team. We know that they tossed their hat in the ring for Darrell Revis, and, you know, we all know what happened there. But we saw a lot of really good cornerbacks kind of fly off the shelves in this free agency period. So I think they have got to get one, and they've got to get one, I think, fairly high, because obviously that's a position that you need three really good cornerbacks, mm-hmm. and I think they would need a starting caliber cornerback. So I would anticipate that, you know, second, third round, you'd probably have to see one.
Now, what's the big thing that will come out of these league meetings? What is everybody looking for down there?
You know what? Really, there's really not that much on the agenda, you know, that's that compelling. I mean, the reason to be here, the reason why you would want to send, you know, beat writers or whatnot here is because this is where everybody is. You get an opportunity. We're going to talk to, hopefully, Jimmy Haslam sometime today. We've got mm-hmm. Ray Farmer. Tomorrow we have Mike Pettine. Then you have an opportunity to sit down with all of the coaches on both days. You've got the AFC tomorrow. You've got the NFC on Wednesday. So it's more so, you know, just having exposure to all the powers that be in the NFL. Right. Now, there are, you know, the playoff format, expanding that, you know, that might happen. But, you know, there's some minor rules changes and things like that, but, you know, nothing too major right now.
Yeah, and you mentioned about visiting with the Browns owner, Jimmy Haslam. Anything in particular on your agenda or on the other, you know, agenda of the media to question him about in general? Is there, I mean, again, all the big moves have been made with the movement in the front office and so forth, but what else is there maybe to cover with him at this point?
You know what, probably more so just big picture stuff. I would also like to know about him actually going out to visit Alex Mack. I mean, generally you don't see an owner going out to make those kind of visits. So I thought that was pretty significant. And does it say something about his leadership style, or is this more a function of, you know, knowing that there's been some change in the organization, or what sort of was the philosophy there. I think it'll be just, you know, more big picture things from him. I'm sure we'll try to get some quarterback insight out of him, but we're not going to get that from anybody right now, really. You know, they're playing it close to the vest, and like Ray said, they want to keep everyone guessing, and they're doing a good job of that. But, you know, maybe some things about Brian Hoyer and, you know, what the feeling is there, and just the view of the organization and the aftermath of all these changes and whatnot.
Well, you know, Mary Kay, there's been a lot of different levels to Jimmy Haslam's ownership. When he first got the team, you know, he was all in. And then he kind of, you know, he pulled away a little bit, and then he went back to Pilot Flying J at that point. And then he came back again, obviously, big time with this second head coaching search and then eventually making the huge changes that he made. So there's really been almost like three different levels of Jimmy Haslam. So you do get kind of a read on, or you have to get kind of a read on where he is now. I mean, I think he's been kind of trying to find himself, don't you think, as an owner? I mean, he was so open about, hey, there's no textbook to learning how to become an owner here.
Right, and, you know, he has admitted that it's a learning curve. And so, you know, I'm sure we'll try to revisit the whole Joe Banner, Mike Lombardi issue again. You know, we talked about, you know, putting our heads together, asking some questions, and one of the things was, you know, would you have, if you had to do all over again, might you have not fired Rob Jasinski, or might you have fired Joe Banner and Mike Lombardi before, you know, making any other decisions on the coaching staff and see if that you could make that work? You know, any regrets about any of that? Why did you fire both of them instead of just one of them? And how did that sort of break down? So if we can get him going on some of those things, we will try to do that. But, yeah, he is kind of still feeling his way.
Right.
And feeling out what kind of owner and what kind of role he will play.
Well, you know, the only other and maybe, you know, we're about ready to wrap this up, but the only other thing that I am interested in, I was thinking about this the other day, kind of touching upon what you were, you know, alluding to there about Rob Jasinski, and that is this. I still wonder how, you know, that it was very difficult to hold that coaching staff's feet to the fire, Mary Kay, after the little production they got out of the draft last year. It was such a bizarre draft, and I know it sets up to be a very active one this year, but they got so little product out of that draft that it seemed to be very tough to hold that coaching staff's feet to the fire the way they did, that they would only get one season with a very, very, you know, bare minimum coming out of that draft.
Well, yeah, you know what? I've talked to a lot of people behind the scenes, and I think there was a strong, strong feeling on the part of that coaching staff that they felt that everything was geared towards this year.
Right.
All the money that they had to spend in free agency and look at all the draft picks that they had, they fast-forwarded that to this year. So I do think that there was just a regret on their part that they didn't get to enjoy some of the fruits of what will happen this offseason. I've talked to numerous guys from that staff, and they all feel the same way.
Yeah, I got the same feedback as well. Mary Kay, thank you so much for taking the time, and enjoy the rest of your time down there. I know it'll be busy, but we look forward to talking with you down the road.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot.
All right. She is Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com, the Plain Dealer, joining us on the line from Orlando, Florida, of course, the site of the NFL owners' meetings. Bob Condotta will join us at the top of the hour. We're going to hear from the writer from the Seattle Times to talk about the Seahawks' former offensive guard and now the Browns' offensive guard, Paul McQuiston. All of that ahead with Vic Carucci, Jim Donovan. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.